Today is Resurrection Day. For many people, it's probably the first time they went to church this year. The second time will be Christmas. And for many people in the world, you know, this is, everybody got dressed up, and it's a special hat day. Most people go to churches with their special hats, you know. Thank God doesn't judge by hats. Okay, that one's nice, you go to heaven, that one's bad, you go to hell, you know. So it's not done that way, because he judges by the heart, right? But you know, there's more to the celebration and what people realize. In fact, the world celebrates bunny rabbits and eggs, and they lose sight about Christ. Because it's the true purpose of this day. And I'm not going to go into this is exactly the day and so forth and whatever. You know, but there's a lot of rituals that go out. And I can tell you this, that Satan's greatest accomplishment was to create or establish religion. And Jesus was not about religion, he was about kingdom. He was about a personal relationship. And would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please? 2 Timothy 3. Hallelujah. Go ahead, slap your neighbor on the right and tell him this is for you today. And slap your neighbor on the left and tell him if he doesn't get it, you're going to slap him again. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's speak this together. But know this, that in the last days, there'll be what? Perilous times will come. How many of y'all know we're in the last days? Amen. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away. In this, it doesn't mean that a person isn't saying they believe in Jesus, because there's a lot of people who say they believe in Jesus. But in this, they've actually exchanged the will of God for their own will. And now they carry a form of godliness, but inwardly, they're really not right with God, because they have lost the relationship with Christ. Amen? Let's go a little further. For verse 6. For this sort are those who creep into households and ministries and everything else and make captives of gullible men and women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. In other words, these perilous times, it's perilous times of deception. It is perilous times of deception. And in this deception, many are still caught up in the deception and are not coming to the complete truth. You know, partial truth is not truth. And that's what New Age is about also. It is a partial truth, but it's not truth. In verse 8, it says, now Jannes and Jairus resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Welcome to the earth. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, in this, in these perilous times of deception, we are finding more and more infiltration in a demonic realm into the earth. Things are getting worse. They are not getting better. For many of the kingdom of God, things will be getting better. Are you listening? But the world is getting worse. And I'll have a sense of getting better, but it really isn't getting better. And so things will get better. We are in a time of almost like what we might call Joseph's time, where the body of Christ will begin to increase in preparation for famine, for things that are about to happen. Everybody in the world knows something's about to happen. That's ingrained, imparted in them. It's engraved in every area of their being that something is about to happen. And yes, we're going to continue to live our lives here. But make sure that we're right with God, for when it does happen, you're going to stand before Him in righteousness. But something is about to happen. The whole world senses it. Because we came from God, we were born from God. Amen? And when we came into this realm, we lost who we are and where we came from. That's why we must be born again, because we are offsprings of darkness, birth as children of Satan under wrath until we are born again. Amen? So we didn't know the truth. But now that we know the truth, we must live the truth. And by living the truth, that's in true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this perilous times of deception, which are increasing right now, and there's much what we call paganism. Paganism. Paganism is like a group of contemporary religious or religions that have a belief system, and it's based or reverenced of nature and rituals and devotions to higher powers other than the truth. It's called paganism. And modern day paganism is what we now call secularism. Secularism is now called, is a modern day paganism. It's a worship of self, nature, false unity, false heroes, money, and they worship creation. In true disguise, it promotes the worship of Satan. Because behind it, who's implementing, is Satan's kingdom. Amen? Acts 17. So modern-day paganism is now called secularism. Acts 17 and verse 16. It says, now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. So the worship of idols is called what? Paganism. It's called idolatry, but it's also paganism. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Sotic philosophers encountered them and said to him, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. He preached to them what? Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of what you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear of some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very what? Religious. Again, who is behind religion? Satan. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his what? We are also his offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or eggs or bunnies, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to this to all by raising him from the dead. So in this, he was trying to proclaim to them the one that was known as the unknown God, that they may know the truth instead of worshiping or other false gods and idolatry in paganism. Again, you got to remember that anything but truth is impressed or influenced by Satan's kingdom. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 10. Let's speak it together. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Acacia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves in the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into what? An angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Again, Satan comes in the form of light. Even his righteous, so-called righteous ministers are evil, impressing, influencing, and imparting, infiltrating doctrines that have a form of godliness but deny the resurrection of Christ or promote self. This is called paganism. You know, we're seeing a lot of things, even right now, the EPA and so forth, Environmental Protection Agency, is they're more concerned about protecting little worms and bugs and feeding people. Amen? So why? Because look at what the government is doing. I mean, you got to understand that Satan's kingdom is the world system now. Amen? It's called Babylon. This is Satan's kingdom. So all government is backed by who? Satan, called Babylon. Amen? I'm not saying that everybody who works in a government is a satanic worshiper. Amen? Because God even put his own people to infiltrate into government that many could be rescued. Amen. That's why what you're seeing right now all over the government, I mean, you know, government is trying to be promoted. I mean, there's more government jobs now and everything else, and prices are outrageous and all kinds of things, economies. Why? Because government is trying to take control, complete control, because this is associated with Satan's kingdom. Amen? So in this, there is paganism. And again, modern day paganism is called secularism. If they could get it to where there is no God at all, they would do it. That's their purpose. That's why you've seen the Ten Commandments come down. That's why you've seen prayer come out of school. All of these areas, infiltration of Satan's kingdom now. Now you're seeing in the Middle East, all of the uprisings. Why? Because, you know, We were known as, this country was established by a republic. Amen? It became democratic after a period of time. But even the democratic is an opportunity for Satan's kingdom to put in his servants. Amen? So what we're seeing now is a dethroning all over in the Middle East right now so that Satan's kingdom could put his military close to Israel. In fact, didn't we just read the other day that Egypt just fired a missile to Israel? You know, last year, if you remember, there was a prophecy that was given, and we talked about Israel would come against the things against Israel and United States. Egypt, I mean. Egypt would come against the United States. And we're seeing all of these things happening because things are moving rapidly. Things are falling into place because Jesus is getting ready to return. But we are in perilous times. Perilous times is very strong, deceptive times where people are being misled. Go to Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or lack of truth." God's own people. Do you realize that grieves the spirit of the Lord to see his own people so deceived? Amen. Voting in individuals that have blood on their hands, that promote same-sex marriage and death to children. It's incredible. And call themselves believers. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or lack of truth, and because you have rejected knowledge or truth, I will reject you for being priests for me." And it's an office that we must maintain. "And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children." It's a curse that comes on the family line. So in this, God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." But it also tells us in the book of Daniel that knowledge will increase. But there is demonic knowledge that's increasing. Technology is increasing. But so is the revelation from God increasing to his people. Because if you're really walking in the spirit, you'll always be a step or more ahead of the devil. Amen? Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Came to hear the truth, right? You didn't think we'd talk about eggs and bunnies, did you? But we are going to talk about some of them. Where was their origination? In John chapter 1. Let's speak it. Verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in him." Now the word "believe" means to follow. So you can say, "I know Jesus," but if you're not a follower, then you're not a believer. Even though you say you are. In verse 13. "Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared him. Why? Because Jesus is God. And God took a part of himself, called him son, and sent him into the world. So the word became flesh. And in this, it's very critical in the area that the word became flesh, we know, to rescue mankind. I mean, God came into the world to rescue man, right? But so we see that as the word became flesh and entered the temporary realm from the eternal realm to rescue people from paganism. Has everybody got that? For the worship of false gods, for the worship of self. Jesus realized that even his own, even the own Sanhedrin, his only people that carried the Torah were beginning to get paganism. Amen? And in this, so he came into the world, not only to manufacture his own blood that we could be rescued and repentance, left his spirit for us to guide us and teach us, but to rescue us from the worship of Satan in disguise because of the evil infiltration of the world and the fight between the offsprings of truth and the offsprings of deception. There's a fight going on. And too many people don't know how to battle. And there is a call to battle right now, isn't there? Amen? Go to Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. It says, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters. The sons of God were angels. And they took wives from themselves of all whom they chose. So these were angels that put on flesh and came into the world. This is where many myths came from of Zeus and all the other stuff. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. So we see that these angels that put on flesh, they were from Satan's kingdom. And I'm not going to go all the way into this, but you can get the teachings on this. But the purpose was Satan wanted to produce his own offspring. And so what happened is these angels went into these women and they produced offspring. Some were giants, some looked like normal people, you know, and some looked strange. And the Lord said, you know what, I'm not going to put up with this. And in verse 6, it says that the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we see here that God was going to destroy all mankind, wasn't he? Why? Because of the offsprings of Satan. Does everybody got it? Because he saw that they were nothing, all thoughts and everything was evil on the earth. Amen? Okay, so we saw that the first, this was infiltration of Satan's kingdom into the natural realm. Go to Genesis 10. So God was going to destroy the earth, and he was going to rescue Noah. Now, what happens is, and you can get the teaching on demons, when the Lord destroyed the earth, I mean, all mankind in the flood, these spirits roamed around. These were called demons because they were disembodied spirits. They were offsprings of the angels that came into the natural realm from Satan's kingdom and took wives and they produced offsprings. And in Genesis 10, in verse 1, it says, now, this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah. There were three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, remember that the offsprings, before God destroyed all mankind, there were men, women, giants, and so forth. Well, when we see that King David had to fight Goliath, who was a giant, And the Lord decided to send out and destroy tribes, even the Canaanites and so forth, because he looked at them as wicked. Why? Because they were offsprings. They were offsprings of Satan's kingdom. So in this, one of Noah's three sons married an offspring of Satan's kingdom. Does everybody understand that? And I'm going to tell you which one. So I wanted to show you here that there was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then Japheth, the son of Japheth, there was Gomer, Magog, and so forth. And then the sons of, sons were born to each one of them. And then the sons of Ham were Cush and Canaan. Now, I want to share something very important, because Shem was a righteous line from Abraham, all the way down through Abraham. And Japheth was the line of the Gentiles, and Ham was the line of the giants and the satanic offsprings. Why? Because Ham married an offspring of Satan. So everybody got it. He married one of the daughters. And that's how all of this started over after the flood. Amen? Praise God. So we see here now, in paganism, which is the worship of satanic arenas, the Bible says, don't worship demons. Amen? Don't drink the cup of demons, drink the cup of the Lord. So in this, all of these rituals and all of these things began to occur. And in fact, even in the arena of Easter, which I'm going to talk a little bit about, the deception of Easter, and it's a specific name. And I'm going to, I got this all written down here. So it says, the first thing we must understand that is that professing Christians were not the only ones who celebrated a festival called Easter. Esther, I-S-H-T-A-R, was pronounced Easter. It's I-S-H-T-A-R. It was a day that was commemorated the resurrection of one of their gods that they called Tammuz, who believed to be the only begotten son of the moon goddess and the sun god. In those ancient times, there was a man named Nimrod. Nimrod was one of the offsprings of Ham. Is everybody getting this? Did you ever hear anybody call somebody a Nimrod? Yeah. Now you know why. He was the grandson of Noah's son named Ham. Ham had a son named Cush who married a woman named Samarius. Cush and Samarius then had a son named Nimrod. Hallelujah. After the death of his father, Nimrod married his own mother and became a powerful king. The Bible tells us of this man, Nimrod, in Genesis 10, 8 through 10, as follows. And Cush began Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was called Babel. This is where Babylon came from. And Akkad and Canaan, and it was in the land of Shinar, which is actually Iraq area. Is everybody all right? Okay, Nimrod became a god man to the people of us, and Samarius, his wife and mother, became the powerful queen of ancient Babylon. Nimrod was eventually killed by an enemy, and his body was cut in pieces and sent to various parts of his kingdom. Samarius had all the parts gathered together except for one part that could not be found. That missing part was his reproductive organ. Samarius, his wife, and his mother claimed that Nimrod could not come back to life without it and told the people of Babylon that Nimrod had ascended to the sun and was now to be called Baal, the sun god. Queen Samarius Semiramis, or whatever her name is, also proclaimed that Baal would be present on earth in the form of a flame, weather candle, or a lamp when used in worship. Semiramis was creating a system of religion, and with the help of Satan, she set herself up as a goddess. Semiramis claimed that she was immaculately conceived. She taught that the moon was a goddess that went through a 28-day cycle and ovulated when full. She further claimed that she came down from the moon in a giant moon egg that fell into the Euphrates River. This is true history. This was to have happened at the time of the first full moon after the spring equinox. Semiramis became known as Esther or Easter, which is pronounced Easter. And her moon egg became known as Esther's egg. Esther soon became pregnant and claimed that it was the rays of the sun god, Baal, that caused her to conceive. The son that she brought forth was named Tammuz, T-A-M-M-U-Z. Tammuz was noted to be especially fond of rabbits, and they became sacred in the ancient religion because Tammuz was believed to be the son of the sun god, Baal. Tammuz, like his supposed father, became a hunter. The day came when Tammuz was killed by a wild pig. Queen Esther told the people that Tammuz was now ascended to his father, Baal, and that the two of them would be with the worshippers in the sacred candle or lamp flame of a father, son, and spirit. Esther was now worshipped as the mother of God, or known as the Queen of Heaven, continued to build her mystery religion called Babylon. The queen told the worshippers that when Tammuz was killed by the wild pig, some of his blood fell on the stump of an evergreen tree, and the stump grew into a full new tree overnight. This made the evergreen tree sacred by the blood of Tammuz. She also proclaimed a 40-day period of time of sorrow, every year a period to the anniversary of the death of Tammuz. During this time, no meat was to be eaten. Sound familiar? Worshippers were to meditate upon the sacred mysteries of Baal and Tammuz and to make the sign of the T in the front of their heads as they worshipped. Think about this. Don't people put ashes on their head with a cross? Think. You got to remember something, that Satan perverts everything that God tries to do. Amen? Hallelujah. They also ate sacred cakes with the marking of the T or cross on the top. Every year on the first Sunday after the full moon, after the spring equinox, a celebration was made. It was Esther's Sunday and was celebrated with rabbits and eggs. Esther also proclaimed that because Tammuz was killed by a pig, that a pig must be eaten on that Sunday. Everybody brings out the ham on Sunday, right? Hallelujah. But now the readers of this tract should have made the connection that paganism has infiltrated the contemporary Christian churches. And I say contemporary because that means temporary. And further studies indicate that this paganism came in by a way of Roman Catholic system. The truth is that Easter has nothing whatsoever to do with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We also know that Easter can be as much as 3 weeks away from Passover because the pagan holiday is always set at the first Sunday after the first moon, a full moon after the spring equinox. So some have wondered why the word Easter is in the King James Bible. It is because in Acts chapter 12, it tells us that it was the evil King Herod who was planning to celebrate Easter, not the Christians. Amen. A little history and revelation about Satan's deception and an infiltration about Esther, the queen, known as Easter. We are here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to go to John 14. John 14. Glory! Thank God. You know, thank God he judges by the heart. Amen. And my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? You know, and it's the responsibility as Christians to let our children know, because they're going to see these things, right? It's our responsibility to let our children know, not to get caught up in chasing a bunny rabbit. Amen? Man, I'm telling you, I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't wait to Easter. Woohoo! I went and got all the cash I could and eat all the chocolate I could. I was sick for days. Of course, I worshiped the pagan dude. Amen? I didn't care about Jesus rising from the dead. I just wanted a chocolate bunny. You know, I knew it was the only day, second day of the year, that we went to church together as a family. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen. "And no one comes to the Father except for through me. If you had known me, you would know my Father also. And from now on, you know him because you have what? See me." Why? Because Jesus was the Father. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak in my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the works, for the sake of the works themselves. Most surely I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will also do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth." See, the Spirit of truth exposes. The Spirit of truth brings us to all truth. In John 16:12, he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to what? Come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." That's why it's so important about staying filled in the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important about assembling. That's why it's so important about abiding in his presence through worship, in his word through prayer, and in fellowship, so that you know truth and that you're not deceived by truth and you're not practicing paganism. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. You know, in the book of Genesis, it talks about God creating man in his image and likeness, and then man fell and lost the image and likeness, Satan taking over the earth and becoming ruler of the earth. Amen? And then we see also that God began to raise up men, began to restore things in the area where, you know, you had Abraham and the covenant, and you had Noah in the covenant, you had the flood, and things were starting new and being restored. One of the things that the Lord established was not only his tabernacle now to dwell, but the feast of the Lord, so that man would know time and season. Somebody understand? The feasts of the Lord, and there are seven feasts of the Lord. And they are vital to know and understand. If you do not understand the feasts of the Lord, you won't understand what's happening. You won't understand times and seasons and events. You will not understand prophecy if you do not understand the feasts of the Lord. And there are seven feasts of the Lord. And these seven feasts, number seven means complete and perfect. And they were practiced and rehearsed in the Old Testament. But only Jesus could fulfill the feasts. And when Jesus came, he fulfilled the first three feasts. He was known as the Passover lamb. So he fulfilled the first feast known as Passover. The second feast was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The word leaven means evil. When Jesus died on the cross, he descended into hell and defeated evil by taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave from Satan. He rose again on the third day, known as First Fruits. So we're truly celebrating the Feast of First Fruits, known as Resurrection. Amen? And after he rose from the dead, 50 days later, he fulfilled the Feast of Pentecost, where he poured out his Spirit. Pente meaning 50 days later. The next feast to be fulfilled is called the Feast of Trumpets. That feast will remove every righteous believer who's right with God from the earth. And then the wrath of God will come. And God will use Satan's kingdom for his wrath. For 3.5 years. And then Jesus will come with his army. And it will be known as the Day of Atonement, which will be Armageddon, the Feast of Atonement. And then 5 days later, after the Feast of the Atonement, there'll be the Feast of Tabernacles, where we will reign for 1,000 years. Is everybody okay? So we are celebrating the Feast of First Fruits, known as Resurrection. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I believe we need to know these things because we need to know truth so that we're no longer deceived by Satan's kingdom. His greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. And God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There are going to be many people left behind who thought they were okay with God and they weren't. 1 Corinthians 15. Is everybody okay? Good. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. It says, now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes. And we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if the dead does not rise. For if the dead does not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the what? First fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father and when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, in verse 50. Remember when Jesus was away and Martha and Mary were his friends and Lazarus, they were brothers and sisters. And Lazarus had died, and Jesus was actually, it would have been 4 days before he could come and see Lazarus. And when he got there, they came out to meet him, and they were all freaked out. If you would have been here, Lord, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, don't you get it? I am the resurrection of the dead. I am the resurrection. In other words, he is the life giver. Awesome. In verse 50, and Jesus was hanging on the cross, and he cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints, I said saints, who had fallen asleep were raised. In other words, those who accepted Jesus during his ministry on this earth. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. These were people who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They were buried. They died during his ministry while he was here. And the graves opened up. He went to hell, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He rose, and all of those who accepted him at that time rose with him and went into the city to testify about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what we celebrate. See, you and I have been raised from the dead already. We were dead in sin. Now we are raised from the dead in life, with a new life. Now as we maintain this life, the next part of our redemption is a new body. So you don't have to go on any more diets. You can eat all you want. Hallelujah. And the purpose of that is so that you can go to and fro, because this will not be our home. Our home will be in a third dimension called Jerusalem. But we will coming back and forth, even though Jesus will set his kingdom up here for 1,000 years. We will still need a glorified body because we are been trained to reign. Amen. Glory. Amen? Amen? Go to 1 John chapter 4. One more scripture and we're done. 1 John chapter 4. Yes! I love it. You can go scuba diving with no gear. I can play tennis on both sides. Woohoo! And I can go to any galaxy I want. There's no limitations. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this we know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and we know, and he knows, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us, and by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error or deception that promotes paganism. And I'm going to close in Revelation 20. Glory. In verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a chain, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, known as the millennium. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when 1,000 years has expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are on the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them together to battle, whose number is the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The end. Yeah! Yeah!
Hallelujah.
This is Resurrection Day. It's not Easter. So you can erase Easter from your vocabulary.
Amen.
And crush the chocolate rabbits and the eggs. Amen. And throw the ham out the window. Because this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed for truth. Let us walk in truth. Let us breathe truth. Let us express truth. And let us carry the truth that others may see and know the truth. Because truly practicing the truth is what makes us free, not just knowing it. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah.